Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert Ethics and the Small Steppers. And with me, I have...
I am coming to you from the Alphaverse. It's just as shit as this universe.
And...
Warning, if you proceed to make a little girl cry and make fun of her and talk shit about, you know, her, I mean, her, you know, parents... This is a special place in hell for you. And I hope when you get there, they serve nothing but flaming hot Mountain Dew.
Oh.
and you'll be pissing acid while you're there too.
Oh man. That is grotesque.
Yes it is, but the guy that made Onion cry deserves it, because fuck that nigga.
Fuck him with a rusty pipe.
Exactly.
With no tetanus shots on standby.
Again, ew.
Listen, he knows what he did. He lives with the consequences. Anyway.
What we're saying is, Spy Family, you should watch it. I mean, you probably are, but yes.
Yes.
Watch it, read the manga, make sure Anya Forge of Real Estate goes all the way through the roof. And all of you, your simps, we see you out there. Awesome. I'm definitely not one of them. Sweats nervously. Look, I like a woman who can kick my ass. What do you want from me? But anyway, here we are, episode 265. So aside from all the Spy Family stuff, how's everyone's week been going?
Trying to get over a pesky little cold or bug or... whatever I've got dealing with. And yes, that's all it is. I did the precautions and procedures. It's all I've got. Just waiting for it to just get out of my system. Not fun, because suddenly everything is... whatever. Aside from that, basketball is fun. You know, when my team wins anyway. I went and saw, like I said last week, Multiverse of Madness. Went to the IMAX theater. It was a good time visually. Story, kind of eh.
Well then.
Yeah, at least the visuals are good, and yes, there was plenty of Army of Darkness Sam Raimi sprinkle throughout, although it's just sprinkles, not the whole picture, because, you know, you gotta follow the template one way or another. Also, Disney, I've been bugging you for 7 years. Am I gonna get my Young Avengers series now?
Maybe someday.
We don't know.
I hope so. I've been begging for them to do it for years. We have America Chavez introduced to the MCU now. Just come on, Disney. Somebody do it for me.
Someone. Well, you know, they have all kinds of things they can license out for shows and shit. It's gotta happen at some point. Law of averages and all.
It better.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
So yeah, I did a little movie time myself, but again, it's more streaming shit because I took a long time on this. So basically, I gave it the Paramount Plus realm. I watched Scream 5 or 5 Cream or whatever the fuck you call it.
Wait, that came out already?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's on Paramount. Yeah, it's on Paramount Plus now.
Oh god.
And of course the movie's like, yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of good. It's worth checking out. Although I find it kind of funny that I shouldn't spoil it, but maybe I should, since it's been like a few months. Wow, that girl loves being on fire a lot. Twice. And if I see the same actress get caught on fire, damn it, I don't know if I did a joke.
There. We'll fix it in post. Maybe. I'll do a Mark deep fake.
Okay. Yeah. We'll do it after we're done rehearsing for tonight.
Yeah. Also, Alpha Man, which is pretty decent. I will say, if you want to see Jason Statham shoot Post Malone, there you go.
Interesting combination of words.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, that's it. And plus, the reason why I'm just keep because I'm just waiting on Sonic to come out, which is, I think, this month of Paramount Plus, coming out May 24th, I believe.
I guess. I don't entirely remember.
I mean, that's what I heard, but because they still got that $2 a month deal, you know, it's the last month I got it.
Nice. I don't know, maybe someday I'll force myself into the dregs of those services. But anyway, as for me, I went to the movies this weekend, and I saw that one movie that some people are talking about. The one about the Vikings and shit. Which, yeah, I have to agree, it definitely needed more dick. Listen, like, look, okay. I can accept suspension of disbelief in a scene that takes place in, like, when the climax takes place in a volcano where there's a lot of, like, soot and ash and just dark, harsh, obscured lighting, for lack of a better term. But, like, there are clearly several camera angles where you should just be able to see even the vague silhouette of dick. And it's not there. Release the penis cut, Robert Eggers.
About that. Nicole Kidman, though.
Yes, Nicole Kidman, indeed. Oh, and Bjork.
Yes.
You know, I don't think it's like, I think since I know Robert Eggers do a lot of stuff at A24, since this is not A24 movie, this is a movie from Focus Features.
Right.
Which is, it's still an art house division, but it's more like, we could do it, but we also want money. Or, I don't know. What y'all say, I don't expect A24 shit.
Look, I'm just saying, you never know. I'm sure someone will pay for, like, I don't know, the unrated Blu-ray with everybody's got their corves hanging out, if you know what I mean. But this is, look, I promise this is a music podcast. We swear, it's just sometimes music intersects with other mediums. You're going to be seeing a lot of that this week. So,
some songs.
With that out of the way, let's get started with our usual business. Beginning, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us and pick up some new tunes for your weekly playlist and all that business. Starting right here at the top, oh hey, look at the time. It's Boldy James O'Clock. I gotta tell you, I have so many clocks on my wrist right now. This is getting kind of heavy. We need less timers. But anyway, Mark, proceed.
So anyway, Boldy James is back once again, but he teams up with another producer. And no actors this time, so yeah. It's actually a producer who worked on another album in 2020. In slew of his other albums, he released 2020, Real Batman, which the dude had an EP out, I think, last month or the month before that. But anyway, they both got an EP coming out called Killing Nothing. Okay, that's an odd title.
That honestly sounds more like a metal album than anything else.
That sounds like an AMC series, like Killing Nothing, coming this fall. Starring, fuck, I don't know, some
Alexander Skarsgård.
Yeah, him. Yeah.
You just reminded me of the Killing Eve ending, and,
Oh, shit, that's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, they got a new single out called All the Way Out. And I gotta say, it's not too bad. Got a good bass line, got some good, like, keyboard work, and there's some, you know, instrument there, like, there, but it's like, it's alright. It's alright beat. I can dig it the most time. Like, and Booty got some good lyrics on here, which he goes, fully auto chopstick with the hair switch, we be dug in the project more than the Blair Witch. And all your cares and you roll a dollar on the block while you roll around with 20 niggas like a scared bitch. Pussy nigga on my body, I got framework. Type of nigga, get a nigga, whole gang murk. Give a fuck about the knocks, all the blue and the whites. Or what about them undercovers in them play white shirts? No, damn it, in them plain shirts. Why the fuck is that white? Anyway, I said, it's basically what you kind of get from Baldi from here with the production. And it's kind of cool. Like, I would give this a shot. Like, I did think the last project he did with Real Batman was pretty good. Maybe not top shit, but it's still pretty good.
Yep. Not much else to add. So, moving on to the next track here. Apparently, there's a new ASAP Rocky project sometime down the pipeline called All Smiles. Not really a date or anything on it, at least not one that I saw anywhere. But we do have a new track from him called DMB, which is short for That's My Bitch. And if you're wondering who the bitch, air quotes, in question is... Well, I mean, okay... She starred in the music video, so I assume she's cool with the subject matter and on decent terms, but it is pretty weird considering that, you know, his girlfriend is Rihanna, who, for the record, is pregnant with his kid. And, you know, I'm just gonna say it right now, I'm not sure if this song is supposed to be like, does he love this woman, or he sounds vaguely pissed off at being with this woman. Like, I understand liking bad bitches and all, but, like... Jeez, dude, you're dating Rihanna. That's like, you have no idea how many people would literally commit murder and arson to be in your position right now. Sound a little bit happy.
Yeah, but you got it right, because considering when that rumor went up about a few years ago, people were like, if that's my shot to get Rihanna back, no, when you're like, you niggas ain't got a chance with her. and then the rumor was false. Y'all like, well, better draw board. I sort of get your reasoning why, like, okay, wait, call her, okay, I guess it's like, yo, that's my, I guess, I thought about that too, it's like, why call her this bitch, I guess she must have liked it, and apparently, I read, Bible says, a ghetto love tale, which I sort of get, because it's very explicit and shit, which, okay, like, as much as the title, like, kind of weirds me out, like, I kind of how the atlas go. That's my bitch. Like, damn, I could. Damn. And the production is not bad. It's not bad. He always been sort of a little bit sort of like weird in some of these videos. And considering who is his editor or who's his who's the cinematographer, who the fuck does this shit like this? Like, I got names of that shit because like it looks. You know, kind of what I like in visual media, just some weird shit like that. As for the song itself, like it's fine. I ride for her, all that shit. Like, although I shrimp my clothes for my bitch, like she's my sis. Wait, huh?
Collar tug.
Okay, yeah, and also raps, I don't beat my bitch, I need my bitch. I mean,
romantic?
At least he needs her. Okay, this is kind of awkward. It's kind of awkward to watch. Like, now going to the lyrics of this shit. And apparently, the beats in here is used by a lot of people, like DJs, Shlomo, Kelvin Crash, Skepta for some reason, and Hector Delgado and Rocky himself. Which, okay, it does sound like there'd be a lot of people a lot of cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah. It is what it is, and I'm sure we'll probably get one on a release date eventually.
Yeah, and hopefully this comes up of him. And the last time he came up with testing, you forgot what album came out that other day. Do you know what came out that day besides that one? Pusha T's Daytona.
Oh shit! That's right.
Yeah, and you know what happened? And you know the rest. So basically, yeah, the album got his album got overshadowed by that shit. Hopefully, that shit won't happen since Push the Other got his album out now. And yeah,
yeah. Anyway, let's move on to the next track here, And again, looking back at the gigantic row of timers and watches on my wrist, it is Cavalera O'Clock this time. Which related project? Why, it's none other than Soulfly, which as a reminder features Max Cavalera, as well as his son Zion? I'm not sure how you pronounce that, on the drums. So, Soulfly's got a new album coming out August 5th. It's called Totem. We have a new single here called Superstition. And, I mean, if you ever heard one Cavalera-related project before, you probably know what to expect here. A pretty straightforward, thrashy, grooving metal banger hits full force on double kicks and the rapid tremolo thrash riffs, with a solid enough guitar production that's got a nice balance between kind of rawness while still having a lot of body and heft to it, throwing its weight around with a bit of a slower bridge, a shreddy solo, and of course it wouldn't be the Cavaleras without some weird auxiliary percussion thrown in towards the outro there. You like Soulfly? You'll like this? Not really much else to add.
Yep, this is definitely an aggro thrash metal track, and that's kind of all I can say about it. Everything's solid, but nothing really stands out to my ears. It just feels kind of samey to a lot of stuff I've heard. I don't know.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. It's been about 2 years since Suicide Silence somewhat got their groove back on Become the Hunter. Never forget. Anyway, in the time since then, you know, we had the pandemic happen. God, that album came out before the pandemic. Holy shit. And, of course, besides that, the band moved over from Nuclear Blast back over to their original label of Century Media, and longtime drummer Alex Lopez left the band after playing with them since 2006. Although, as a reminder, he wasn't actually in the recording sessions for that last album. That was instead drummer Ernie Iniguez, who is now joined as, you know, the band's drummer for the time being. I don't think they said it was a permanent announcement, but I'm pretty sure it'll stick around. And of course, to go alongside all this, we have a brand new single from the band, Thinking in Tongues. No word of a new album yet, but I wouldn't be surprised. This thing honestly kind of slaps pretty hard, like, I don't know, some guy slapping another guy at, like, an important thing or something. I don't know, you can look up slaps on the internet. It rips out the gate pretty hard with a lot of those menacing guitar tremolos, hard slamming D beats and blast beats, shifting into those nice satisfying deathcore grooves and guitar chugs. And there's some particularly nasty riffing and blasts like partway through it around the 2 minute mark. And in particular, a really nice breakdown heavy part towards the end where the guitar effects kind of sound like a deathcore-ish version of Iowa era Slipknot. If Become the Hunter was kind of like a slight transition into regaining some dignity, then this one definitely is like, yeah, we're definitely going to be back.
Okay, then. You all have my attention again with some, it's weird to say, but old school vibes on this track. That doesn't sound right. 2007 was not that long ago. I refuse to believe it.
We all do.
I refuse to believe time works that way. 2007 was not 15 years ago. I refuse to believe this reality.
But, we're old!
Yeah, consider me curious for what else could be in store from them. And as a note about Alex Lopez, he is dating Tatiana, I'm going to butcher this name, Shmailuk from Ginger. And, you know, they've been busy with working on, trying to get things, you know, going okay in Ukraine, because that's where they're from.
Right.
I don't know if that had anything to do, I don't know if that had anything to do with him leaving, but, yeah, there's probably something else going on with if he wasn't in the recording session, but, yeah, this new track is pretty good.
Now, moving on to the next track here. So, as we all know, June 24th, we'll see the release of the upcoming Elvis Presley biopic, Elvis.
I've seen this trailer so goddamn many times.
Courtesy of Shakespearean film interpreter Baz Luhrmann, and it looks like every fucking biopic ever. Roll the Patrick H. Willems video, roll the compilation of the best jokes from Walk Hard. And of course, we got a soundtrack piece here, courtesy of Doja Cat. The kind of thing which has inspired discourse of some kind on the internet, which I'm not going to comment on the discourse because, much like with Lana Del Rey, I need to stress this enough, Doja Cat is nowhere near interesting enough to justify how often I'm forced to hear about her on the internet. Case in point, the song here is simply titled Vegas, which, actually, now that I think about it, weren't you planning on retiring? I vaguely remember that. Anyway, the production is whatever. It's basically just, you know, modern pop rap cliches filtered through the glitz and glamour of old school Vegas, with, I guess, fitting enough vocal samples and, of course, interpolating Elvis's famous Hound Dog song. And there's not really anything else to say about that. Doja Cat just sounds like Doja Cat does on every fucking Doja Cat song. God, why? Why?
Yeah, okay, yeah, it's definitely a Doja Cat song. Although, I think I know she typically is the song Hound Dog, but I felt like the other version that was there before Pressy did his, like we know about Elvis getting shit from Black Art, from Black Artists.
Yeah, he was a cover artist. God damn it.
Yeah, and I guess you can find something that is like, well, because Broke is on a cover about somebody. Technically, Doja Cat is sort of like virally mixed, but it's a Doja Cat song. And the more I think about this soundtrack that's coming from, you know, a Baz Luhrmann movie, was the last time I looked into a soundtrack from this movie. The Great Gatsby. I remember it features Jay-Z, Beyonce, and Andre 3000.
God.
Will I Am, Fergie, Lana Del Rey, Florence and the Machine, Gautier, The XX, Sia when we still liked her.
That is a list of names.
You know, not everything has to be a jukebox musical soundtrack, Boz, and unfortunately we're going to be quote-unquote graced with a Kacey Musgraves cover of I Can't Help Falling in Love with You, a.k.a. the most schmaltziest song ever written.
Ew.
I have nothing to say about this. I'm just so annoyed that... Okay, I've probably been to the theaters a little too many times recently. I have seen the exact same trailers play at every single movie. It is Elvis, Bullet Train, it's been Doctor Strange, it's been a couple other movies, and it's also been Top Gun, which, guys, I'm going to go see it. I'm going to go to the IMAX theater to see it. Just show me some new trailers. And then we get the Avatar trailer, that fucking monkey's paw strikes again.
Wait, why would you want to go see Top Gun 2?
Because I like IMAX movies.
Yeah, but like, there's got to be something better. I mean, isn't Everything Everywhere All at Once still in IMAX?
No, it was just last weekend because you know how Disney rolls with these movies?
God,
with
fucking damn
these
it.
Marvel
oh,
movies.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I will also see the Bob's Burgers movie. Don't worry.
Oh, right. That's happening too. Holy shit.
Yeah. Dope as fuck.
Look, and also, I have the A-list membership. I'm going to use it.
It's been a while since I've had that.
And I never had that because I don't got AMC in my local city.
Anyway, moving on to the next track. Speaking of Top Gun, a sequel that for some reason is still happening, coming out May 27th after what feels like however many fucking, you know, stop-start attempts and delays and however fucking long we knew this thing was going to happen. Yeah, I guess if you want to see it, you're going to go see it or whatever. Anyway, of course, the soundtrack here has a piece from Lady Gaga, which was recently released, called Hold My Hand. And, I mean, Gaga sounds fine on it. She always sounds pretty good singing. But, like, it's soundtrack filler bullshit for a sequel film that... Like, why does this exist? Okay, let me be more precise. Why does this exist now? Like, this would have made sense, like, 3 or 4 years out from the original. Maybe even 6. But, like, this far out, like, now in 2022, Why? You couldn't have used your resources for anything else.
I mean, yeah, this sounds like a in-credit song piece of stuff. I mean, Gaga's fine here, like you said. And, yeah, this is like something that will play when I leave... Well, at least the fear there. And also, yeah, you're right about, also, yeah, I guess it's because, you know, they want to cash in a Lego sequel or some shit like that. And you know, since the whole pandemic was released in 2020, Batman Paramount was still a Viacom CBS company.
Yeah. Apparently development on the movie began back in 2010. It would have been Jerry Bruckheimer on board making it, but obviously, it took a little longer, and he's not involved, but whatever. And you know you've seen a lot of movies lately when you know this is going to be the end credits song, because that's what this is. I mean, thematically it's solid, and the production is strong, but alas, sing it with me, kids. It's another frickin' four-chord song! How fun!
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Lady Gaga, you're better than this. Come on.
That must have been a pretty big paycheck she got from the producers.
Yep.
Anyway.
And, yeah, I mean, I know we had two bad checks, but look at the horizon. Guess who that is?
Oh, shit, is it our Lord and Savior, Carly Rae Jepsen? Yes. Yes, it is. No word of a new album quite yet, but we do have this new single from her in the meantime. It's called Western Wind, and befitting of the song, it definitely tries to have, like, this breeziness to it. Like, the beat is driven by this soothing, hazy piano rhythm playing this very steady groove. The lyrics are, of course, all romantic and shit, and trade heavily on the imagery of a beautiful spring season. And, yeah, it's just very breezy and relaxed, especially partway through when you have this brief set of twangy echoing guitar licks partway through. It's odd enough, it's a nice vibe tune, and Carly sounds good on it, of course.
This sounds pretty fun, pretty fun. It's not pretty good, pretty, you know, it's not, you know, it sounds pretty.
Yes.
I'm gonna go ahead with that.
Yes, it does. But anyway, you're not here for all of that BS now, are you? No. We wasted your time with, like, what, seven other songs? When you really only care about one here, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Right. That's right, motherfuckers of the jury. Moves. It's time for the main event. The man, the myth, the legend, Kendrick Lamar, a.k.a. Kung Fu Kenny, a.k.a. King Kunta, a.k.a. Top of the Morning. I'm pretty sure there's a long-ass list of names, too.
A.k.a. Pulitzer Kenny.
That is correct.
Or a.k.a. Okelama, or that's how it's pronounced.
I don't know. I'm still not even sure what P.G. Lang is, to be honest. But anyway, yes, a couple days out from when you're probably first listening to this podcast will finally be the day when Kendrick drops his much-anticipated new album, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. And we finally have a brand new single to, you know, get the cycle rolling proper. The fifth installment of his ongoing The Heart series, The Heart Part 5. With a music video that apparently features special thanks to Matt Stone and Trey Parker?
Apparently they have been linking up sometime. Like, I think he's working on a project with them. I don't know. I kind of forgot, but yeah, I mean, it was when I first knew about, you know, them doing that shit, but okay. And also, I wonder if you saw the video. This is out of the way right now. Wow, that's a bunch of deep fakes.
Yes.
Like, and who might they be?
in the video, as he gets his verse, like after the course he did with Marvin Gaye, which he sampled a song from him, which, let me see, like, he, which, what he sampled, which,
I want you.
Then he turns into motherfucking O.J. Simpson. Like, he turns into O.J. Simpson one minute. Next thing you know, he turned to fucking Jesus.
Kanye West has never sounded better.
And then it turns into Jesse Smollett.
Now remember, kids, if you're going to commit crimes, don't do it with a check. That comes from Charles Barkley. Don't do it with a check.
And then afterwards, it turns into Will Smith.
Oh yeah.
And I imagine Will Smith with dreads. Which is
Maybe then he'll finally be black enough for 106 in Park.
Oh yes. Then we get to the third verse where he said take the drums out. Of course, the verse is kind of more somber considering he defects into the late Kobe Bryant and the late Nipsey Hussle. Which is a verse I hear like everything just ain't coincidental. I woke up this morning, more heart to give you as I bleed to speak through my presence. To my sister, to my kids, I'm in heaven. To my mother, to my sis, I'm in heaven. To my father, to my wife, I'm serious, it's heaven. To my friends, make sure you count the blessings. To my fans, make sure you make them investments. To the killers, they spit my demise. I forgive you, but know your soul's in question. Which, okay. I guess you're speaking towards, as Nipsey is thinking, it's a cavity, but I'm crushing your soul since you fucking killed me.
Yeah.
And also this production, we've been guessing what kind of direction it's going to, because we've been trying to figure out what it's going to, and it sounds a bit more, I want to say, more funky. I don't want to say close to the vein of Pimp Butterfly, but it does have that sound that almost similar to it. But I know someone say he going to more of a rock vibe. I mean, it is sort of like a rock vibe, more experimental rock vibe, which I kind of hit with that. But this. Got me questioning around this question. Yeah, they could be doing a lot of questions around this shit, but yeah.
Yeah, the track is produced by Beach Noise, a production and songwriting trio. I don't know if this will be indicative of the album. Also, this might be a double album based on one of the pictures we saw from the website.
Yeah, he was holding like two CDs that were like the master copies of the record.
Uh-huh. Also, Deep Voodoo is the studio that did all the deep fake work, and that is run by Trey Parker and Matt Stone, so there you go.
Huh.
Yeah.
That explains a lot. But yeah, this is definitely, of course, another certified Kendrick, classic. One that, as the title implies, definitely wears its heart on its sleeve a lot with, the weird venting through Nipsey Hussle's perspective and just kind of themes of trauma and abuse and, the tragedies of the black experience in America, all that. What Kendrick does, doing it phenomenally. We will see what Mr. Morale and his big steppers have in store this Friday. Now, that just about, covers it for the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have a few news topics to discuss, so stay tuned. And we're back. Now it's time for a little segment we call Decibel Boost at the movies? Because technically these are all on screens of various kinds. The small screen, the big screen, and I guess technically back at the small screen again. Or maybe it's a bigger screen, depending on what size TV you got. So,
yeah,
starting right at the top here, we're all familiar with the A24, the studio that makes all those cool movies that cool people go watch, including that one movie about the multiverse, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Maybe you heard of it. And even coming soon, apparently they're delving into relatively younger skewing movies. That one movie about the talking shell is a thing.
I want to see that movie so bad. It looks so good. Give it to me now.
The Shell with Shoes. That's going to be an interesting diversion from what I usually expect from A24. So, hey, might work out.
Okay.
Apparently, they also branch out into television production, it seems. I don't know if they've had... I don't know off the top of my head if they have any television experience prior to this project we're discussing here. But,
I think
yes.
they're involved with
Euphoria. Yes, they do.
I think they're involved with Euphoria, I believe.
Yes. Euphoria, Rami, and a couple other shows.
I mean, I guess A24 was interested in that one series. What's it called? It's from that woman, the same person that made Hell of a Boss. I forgot what's it called.
I do not know that one.
Damn, I know.
Hazbin Hotel.
Yes.
Still TBA, by the way.
Wait, isn't Hazbin Hotel that weird cartoon that people on Tumblr are into?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the project we're talking about here is an A24-produced television series called De La Resistance, which covers the life and career of jazz icon Josephine Baker, you know, a world-renowned performer who also worked as a spy for the Allies during the French Resistance of World War II. You know, you gotta love having a multifaceted career like that. And the creator of the show is Jennifer Yale, who's worked on projects like Sea, Outlander, and Underground. And not producing the series, as well as starring in the lead role, is none other than singer Janelle Monáe.
Oh, hey! I heard from you in a while. Well, you've been... All right, and apparently she produced via her own company, Wonderland Pictures. Okay, well, since that's also her label, but yeah, her label Wonderland, but yeah, which also explained her Met Gala look.
Yeah,
what is the Met Gala anyway?
I don't know. I'm convinced it's a hallucinatory fever dream that happens every year.
I guess to see who just like an anime character.
Someone needs to show up there in just a regular t-shirt and Levi's, and everybody will just say it's meant to be post-ironic modernist art or whatever.
Listen, I have a long-term plan here. I'm going to become famous one day, and then I'm going to show up at the Met Gala wearing a Yoshikage Kira cosplay. They'll never see it coming. Bites the dust. See you in hell, rich motherfuckers. But yeah, I'm pretty sure this will be another notch in Janelle Monáe's belt. Also, didn't they recently come out as non-binary?
I heard it, but I'm not sure.
I didn't know about that. I hope we're saying the right pronouns. If we're not, we apologize.
Yeah, see, I knew I heard about something like that recently.
Oh, so they are non-binary.
Uh-huh.
Give me a podcast for.
I found it. It was an LA Times interview. The specific wording is "free ass motherfucker."
Well, that's one way of putting it.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on from that to the next news article here. This time being improper film news. So, moving on from Janelle Monáe to this time Anderson .Paak. He's apparently going to direct and star in a dramatic comedy film humorously titled K-Pops! Exclamation point. The premise has Anderson .Paak starring as, quote, a washed-up musician who travels to Korea to write songs for K-pop stars, only to learn that his long-lost son, played by his real-life son, Sol Rashid, is fronting one of the country's newest rising acts. Per Paak's words himself, My mom is from Korea, but she was adopted, so I never knew anything about my Korean heritage until I met my wife. The movie is a reflection on my experience learning about this part of myself alongside my wife and son, and spending even more time with them. I know this would be something I should write and direct, and Stampede Ventures took a chance and trusted that I could pull this off. I'm excited to bring it to the big screen. So yeah, there's a weirdly specific premise and unison point. Anderson .Paak and K-pop stands. I really do want to hear what that music sounds like now.
Yeah. Okay. The script was recorded by him and Kalada Amazan. Damn. Okay. He was also produced by his company Apeshit Films, which oddly enough, Apeshit is also his own label based off Universal Music Group, which he owns a label now.
Well then. So yeah, there's a movie that is going to come out at some point. I'm sure it'll be. Honestly, I mostly just want to hear what K-pop sounds like written by Anderson .Paak.
Well, yeah, that'd be interesting.
So, I guess keep tabs on it once it actually happens. Anyway, moving on to the last bit of news here. So, as we've known for a bit, the ever-so-wonderful Weird Al Yankovic is producing an upcoming comedy biopic thing called Weird. The Al Yankovic Story. And finally, one of these biopics that actually looks like it gets it right, i.e. not being every biopic ever. Seriously, what the fuck? So, yeah, he's of course writing and producing the film, and as we've known for a while, Daniel Radcliffe is playing the titular role of Weird Al Yankovic. And we finally have the first official teaser for the movie itself, and yup, that is definitely Daniel Radcliffe with a mustache and a fake fro. And, I mean, it's just a brief, you know, minute-long thing. It shows you about what you would expect, some performance clips, a really decent gag involving accordions, and, well, I mean, you get to see what Daniel Radcliffe looks like to Weird Al, so, yeah, you basically got, I don't even know when this is coming out, it's just, at some point, it's releasing on the Roku channel, and it looks like it might be humorous enough. I mean, it's got to be better than every other biopic ever made, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's obvious that this is meant to be much more comedic in its tone, not totally taking itself seriously, which is good. Because nobody wants to see a straight-laced, serious Al Yankovic biopic. They want to see weird, wacky stuff. It's like that line from Total Recall. Get ready for a surprise. Boom.
Yeah. So, this is probably going to be, like, you know, decently entertaining. I don't know if we're going to get, like, you know, a bigger tease sometime down the road. Maybe. Who knows? But yeah, when that comes out, I'm definitely going to find a place to watch it, which means having to learn, you know, what the Roku channel is.
It's an app you can get on, obviously, Roku. You can get it on, you know, any, I think on smartphones as well as they have a website or whatever. It's all free anyway, so you will not have to pay for it.
Right. So, yeah. Mark your calendars, kids. And that basically covers the news discussion, so we're going to move on to the last bit here, which is, of course, the new album releases for the week of May 13th, 2022. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from death metal band Misery Index with Complete Control. From sludge metalers Primitive Man, we have their new EP Insurmountable. From Quelle Chris, we have his new album Death Fame. From the Black Keys, we have their new project Dropout Boogie. We have the newest album from Florence and the Machine, Dance Fever. There is unfortunately a new album from the Chainsmokers with So Far So Good.
Why are you still here? Why are you still here?
I do not know. And last but certainly not least, as previously mentioned, Kendrick Lamar with Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers.
Excellent.
Oh, Oh, yay.
With all of that out of the way, now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, Aura of Azure, where I like to talk about sports. And I like to tell people to stop being so goddamn headstrong with their convictions on opinions on the internet. Put in the work. Stop being assholes. Also, I talk about movies because that's just fun.
Yes, yes. Mark, what about you?
Of course, I'm on Twitter at Matt Tavon Media, and I got my own site, mindhavenwhatthehappenedatworkpress.com. All I got.
And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@sureresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Google Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up on the official YouTube channel. So subscribe, hit the bell tab so you're notified whenever anything goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SurrealRezo. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website SurrealResolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. Be sure to, of course, jump into our Discord chat as well. So you can also post about the mistakes you made at a gas station at 2 in the afternoon. And that about does it for this week. Of course, stay tuned because we're going to have the album roundup for April coming out pretty soon this weekend. So, yeah, listen out until then. And until next time, seriously, why does Flaming Hot Mountain Dew exist?